God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody here. Everybody happy. We're not happy that the director leaving, but we'll get him back. I'm not going to say the rapture won't take place, brother, but we need you here for it to take place. But it's okay if it does, because he'll just take you from where you're at, and we'll meet in the air. But I got some prayer cloths here, and at the end of the service, everybody come around, touch it, and pray. Five or six, however many you need here, so just come and pray for them before you leave the service. So the Lord will be with them in their flight. Get their clothes there. Amen. Get their luggage there. And get them there. And then get them back safe. You know what? I spent 3 weeks in the Philippines. And I was ready to come home. I know 3 months or 2 months, whatever it is. I'd work at McDonald's or somewhere. I'd find it. No offense to anybody that works at McDonald's. But you don't have to travel overseas to do that. So, but Lord have mercy. God bless you. Let's turn our Bibles or watch the screen here to Psalms 138. We're going to change a little bit up today. It's kind of strange. I was kind of thinking about how to go this next step, and well, you'll see in a minute. It's kind of like Brother Aaron said. It's a little bit eerie when you get ready to start preaching, and Brother Brown's already read about three of your quotes.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about former and latter rain. Well, guess what happened a few minutes ago?
Right.
Brother Brown will explain former and latter rain. So see, I can take those quotes and I can put them to the side because you've already read them.
Right.
You heard it from the man himself. But that's just the way God is. I believe he's putting us in a, getting us in a line. He's got to line this thing up because we can't. And when he does it in a supernatural way, everything he does is supernatural. He doesn't do things naturally. He does them all supernaturally. So we thank God for that. But just remember, by way of announcement, February the 1st, Bible study. Everybody got that? February the 15th, Valentine's Day. Make sure you sign up downstairs on the refrigerator. Everybody got that? All right. Also, Brother Ernie, Brother Dale, sorry, Brother Ernie will be here on February the 9th. So keep him in your prayers. February the 23rd, I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's on that Sunday. So I'll be gone that February the 23rd. Also, the youth meeting will be March the 7th. Now, the first falls on a Sunday, so we can't do it on that Saturday. So we're going to wait till the next week and do it. And we will have in March, the 7th will be the youth Bible study. Thank you. And that Sunday will be the youth when they take over. It won't be the first Sunday. It'll be the second on this one because it's kind of abnormal the way we're doing it now. But March the 7th will be the Bible study for the youth and our regular Bible study because Saturday will not be the first. And then that March the 8th will be the youth where they do the service here on that Sunday. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. Brother Aaron McGarry, I called him Monday to make sure he got home all right. He said, thank you, everyone. He thoroughly enjoyed being here. He enjoyed the freedom of preaching, and that says a lot for you guys. I want to thank the brothers that took him out to eat because he was thoroughly impressed with the amount of word that the guys knew. Amen. And that's a testament to our pastor. Amen. Because without a foundation, I mean, you it's like I told Brother Aaron, sometimes you sit around with people and they just look at you, you know. Wow, they have nothing to say. But when you got something to say, when you believe what you see and you see what you believe, it's easy to talk about because it's a way of life. That should be our way of life. Our communication should be brother to brother, and you'd be able to talk about the things of the Lord. And he was thoroughly impressed that the brothers were actually preaching back to him. He said, I was just quiet and let them talk. So that's just great that the brothers did that. And I thank you for taking them out. But remember, We also invited him to the Father's Day fishing outing, and Brother Dale asked him to do the watch night service. So he's going to get back with us on that and let us know. He's going to be out of town, but he may get back in time, but he's going to let us know about that. Just pray for him. I mean, he's don't have no family out here. He's never been out here before, just in preaching, and then he goes back to Dallas, Texas, you know. Does a lot of preaching out that way, but none here. So what he said, he was real happy that we kind of took him in, and we were not a church that he had to sit here and you know, and everybody just stared at him what he said. At least we knew what he was talking about. Right. We knew the word, you know, previously, so he was able to be super comfortable and be able to plow deep like he did. Right. So he did a good job. But he said thank you, though. When a preacher comes up and thanks you, thanks Brother Dale, thanks the congregation for being attentive. But our June Father's Day sign-up sheets downstairs. I know it's a little early, but you know what? It's never too early. It'll be June next week. June 18th, 19th, and 20th. So we have a big lodge rented in Helen for sleep 25 people at least. So we're going to have a good time there. It'll be right in the middle of trout fishing and tubing and zip line and whatever y'all want to do with it. It'll be there. So, and there'll be stuff for the kids because there's horseshoes and all those things. So, but God bless you. Let's get started. Psalm 138:8. If we don't get finished tonight, we will try and get finished Sunday afternoon with this part on revival. Everybody love the Lord?
Amen.
Did you pray today?
Amen.
Did you talk to your maker?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You should talk to your maker, and you should come prayed up, ready to go, because you know what? It makes it a lot easier to preach when you're prayed up and ready to go. Psalms 138:8. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day that you've given us, Lord, that we can live on the face of the earth. Where all of Christianity has waited for this time, for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the manifestation, as Brother Aaron said Sunday, of the full word, the full course meal. It's been opened up to this bride in the end time. Father, may we not be dilatory. May we be fervent in seeking your will and the things, Lord, that's in the Bible that we're to live and breathe and do. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one that's not here, that's sick, ones that are gone from us, Lord, and Brother Durrett and them as they travel on their job, Lord. We pray that you just touch them, Lord. Be with the LaFontaine family, Lord, in the passing of their patriarch there, Brother John, the older man. We pray that you just bless the family, give them guidance, Lord. And we know Brother John's sitting over in that sixth dimension waiting on us now to fulfill the rest of it. But Lord, what a great solace is to know where they're at. And we had a prophet come to tell us where they're at. And they're in a place of eternal just joy, not laying somewhere, Lord, but they're having fun. They're in a dimension that's, he said it was nothing but perfect love. And he's waiting on us to fulfill this commission that we have here. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, that's on the foreign fields, that you give them fruit for their labor, Father. Be with the sick that are in the building, Lord. I know Sister Kathy's not feeling well, Lord, by the power of the word that comes forth in the end of the service, Lord, that she'll feel well. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one. Be with the ones, Lord, that are coming and the ones that are leaving, Father. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 138:8. This is Revival Part 5. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now, who's on the right hand? Christ. Okay, so if you got Christ, you've got the right hand. You've got the power. He's there to save you. All right? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That's why I picked that. The Lord will perfect, not me perfecting me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That's what we're trying to work into now, is to see this closing up this revival, that it's all going to be in me and you. Not going to be a public show. It's not going to be something they're going to put on the news. It's not going to be something there's going to be flyers going all over the... We're not going to be on believers.org that we're having a supernatural revival. No, you're going to have a supernatural revival in your heart.
Right.
But he will perfect you. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Psalms 85:1. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? He's asking the question. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now let's read, go ahead and get to quote number one. This is the prayer that we've been reading, and I want you, we're going to read it again, because it's a good prayer. Prophet of God, on recognizing your day in his message, 1964, says, God, create in me a revival.
Right.
How many of you have really, you don't have to show hands because it'll embarrass some of you. How many of you have really went home and just said, God, I want a revival to start in my heart?
Glory.
Well, I'll wait till Brother John and them get back. No. Sorry. But we're not, and I hope they don't either.
Right.
Amen? What's God waiting on? He's waiting on us. You and I to come to full adoption. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. The revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. More consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you. More able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work.
Amen.
That's not 24/7. That's not a 40-hour workday. Okay. All right. More looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. So now as we've been through this study, I want to kind of go over what we've been, the points. We've got 7 points that I want to drag out of all what we've done in the past 4 services. They're not up there, so you just got to listen. Number one, as we read these quotes, you're going to see that Brother Branham says, number one, firstly, we need to get right. We need to clean up our own house. We need to clean up our own thinking, our own ways. And see, but you see, as you do that, because it being a revival, it causes others. We had 4 baptisms last Sunday.
Right.
4. Right. Amen. Brother Zach Black. Jonas. Brother Jonas Canada. Brother Jonas. Don't matter how old he is. He's a brother. Sister Frieda Roberts. And Sister Anna Durrett.
Amen.
It's begun.
Amen.
But what happened is you've got to come to a realization that you got a problem.
Right.
I do that 24/7. But I realize I'm the problem. You can't blame God. You can't really blame the devil. Because the devil can't get to you unless God lets him. And the reason God lets the devil get on you is because you need it. Amen? So number one is get right and clean up. Number two, it's not a resurrection but a restoration. But we do see resurrections coming as we went to a funeral and buried 4 people. But they're alive more now than they ever have been, even after going to a funeral.
Right.
Amen? I hope so.
Amen.
But restoration, what you already have, is to restore what has been planted. That's why we're going back to the former and latter rain. Because listen, you can pour water on ground upon ground, and you can actually, you can drown a seed. I didn't believe that until I worked with Jacob Fountain for about 2 or 3 years. You can literally drown a plant. Plants would die, and he'd go over and he'd say, watch this. He'd pull that plant up, and the whole bowl where he pulled it up from the root would be full of water. It rots the root. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood. It's not going to come by me sitting here, or Brother Dale standing here and preaching a revival. No, it's got to come from you. Remember, we're going to read the quotes. It's not going to be a national thing, so don't look like it's over there, and don't look for it over there, and don't look for it in the paper.
Right.
And CNN, I promise you, will not cover it. All right? It will be a secret. It will not be a public show.
Right.
It's only for the bride. I hope you caught what Brother Aaron was talking about Sunday.
Right.
This is an exclusive message.
Right.
Exclusive.
Right.
Message from God. It's just for us.
Right.
It is not for the foolish virgin.
Right.
It's not for the unbeliever.
Right.
It's not even for Israel.
Right.
They get their time. Ours is right now. And it only comes by the opening of the Word of God. Not hiring some, and believe this or not, it's happened, and it happens in the denominational world all the time. They got these worship teams that they pay to go into this church, pay them to go into the church to bring, you know, to pump the people up. It's kind of like a rock concert. Well, that's not God. That's not this revival we're talking about. Oh, it'll be fine that we sing a little more upbeat music, but that's not going to bring a revival. A revival's got to come from within. All right, so those 7 points, get right. It's not a resurrection, but a restoration or a reviving of what you already got. It won't come by one minister preaching it. It's not a national revival. It will be a secret. Brother Branham said it would not be a public show. All right. It's only to the bride. And it's only by the Word of God. The revealed Word of God. Not just the Word of God, but the revealed Word of God. Because the letter killeth. The people are today, tonight, billions or millions all over the world open in the same book. But are they preaching the pure Word of God? Right. No, they're not.
Exactly right.
Now, some may. But not everybody. And you say, well, how do you know? Look at their doctrine.
Right.
Look at their way of life. Look at their attitude and aptitude. And,
right.
and like Brother Ernie, he'll be here in a little while. That determines your altitude.
Right.
Brother Ernie has all those quips and quotes, you know, from being a motivational speaker. But your attitude determines your altitude.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So now let's read number 2 and get started here. They've got this atomic clock up here now. I told them, I said, I wish there was a way you could make that thing go backwards. I'd really, or go forward real quick. You know, a preacher would be reading a quote and they'll look up and it'd be 12:45. But no, that's the atomic, we have an atomic clock here, guys.
Yeah.
Atomic clock. It's just big letters so we can see what it is. But look what Brother Brown said, the angel of the Lord, 1951. And when you see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. That's just a gathering. But a revival is when people get really right with God and pray through and starts a revival throughout the city and everything, you see. They put away sin, put away their iniquity, and turn to God, turn around and start back again. We need to all turn around. You say, all right, that means that you were... We all have unbelief. There's a lot of things that I need to turn around and go in another direction. I don't know about you. Amen? All right? But you know what? You know how easy is that? That's just way too easy. Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's pretty hard because we don't do it all the time. I said we. So it's not a big crowd. It's not a big gathering. Look at number 3, resurrection of Lazarus. Brother, I feel real good. What this church needs today is a good revival, not a new doctrine. See, that's our problem. Not our problem, but the problem of people in the message, the reason they're flying away from it, they're trying to find something new.
Right.
They're trying to find something that's going to, energize the people.
Yeah.
You know, we had one preacher said, we don't need any more teaching.
Yeah.
He needed it worse than anybody.
Right.
When you do away with that, you do away with part of the fivefold ministry. He said, we need more manifestations. I don't know. One brother told me one time, he said, everybody that preached the seals, now that's what he said, that he knew of, we were talking about the seventh seal, and he said, everybody I know, now you knew Brother Dale, so he's lying. He said, everybody I know doesn't, in other words, the seventh seal takes them to polygamy, it takes them to, you know, we're in the millennium, so it doesn't matter if I smoke, drink, cuss. He said, it takes everybody I know to that doctrine. And I thought, buddy, you just have a real narrow view of what you're talking about. You're wanting to be what? Negative about everything. We need there. Listen, what am I saying? We got to find the right avenue. Find the right, I don't even say the right church. You got to find the right ministry for us to get under to be able to say the things that we say. to be able to do the things that we do. Right. Manifestations, heavenly days. We could have a manifestation meeting today where Brother Boyd can tell you about how God's healed him several times. Brother Zach had just, you still gotta give your testimony. We all have a testimony. Well, to me, that's power.
Right.
That's the devil being whipped.
Right.
No, their determination of that is coming through the prayer line, you falling over and, come on guys. That ain't all it. Went to a lot of youth camps in Alabama and saw the same people in the altar the same year, 6 and 7 years in a row, for the same identical thing. And they say they got delivered the time before, so. It's this thing. Get the one inside changed. Get the one inside changed, and you won't have to worry about that person coming up again for that same thing. Listen, if you have to come to the altar for the same thing, you got a problem. I'm telling you, you got a problem. You know what you're doing? You're wanting us to fix it. It starts at your house. That's right. You say, well, I can't understand y'all. Study. Real simple. Deanna's in advanced math. She's got to study harder. You know why? Because this is an advanced math class. So do you. Listen, Brother Brown, I'll read you the quote. May bring it next Sunday. He said, ignorance is not an excuse. Pleading ignorance is not an excuse. Brother, I feel real good about it. What this church needs today is a good revival. Not a new doctrine, not a new order. That's why I like that scripture. Those who endure to the end. Endure. Endurance. You know what? I've known some endurance racers. Brother Chris Long was an endurance motorcycle. 6 hours on a motorcycle. He said that wasn't fun. But he wanted to do it because he wanted to win the prize. You know? He broke like 16 bones in his body, but you know what? That's okay. He won a lot of prizes. Same way with a Christian. It's not going to be, we're not going to set a cross. Brother Brown said, you know, this is not a picnic. This is a battle. Those who endure. So what we're trying to do is stir up what? Your endurance. How are you going to be? You know, tomorrow I'm going to run a marathon. 26 miles, swim 14 miles. I'm going to lift weights. And I'm an idiot. You can see the manifestation that I am not a marathon runner on the outside, but on the inside. That's what God's looking at. God's looking at what's on the inside. He used a Moses that couldn't even talk plain. He used all these different people that had these so-called flaws. But God was looking at the character of the person inside. So we're trying to stir up what? What you already know about. Now what we're going to talk about a little bit about former and latter rain. It can rain all day. If there's no seed in the ground, nothing's going to come up. Nothing. Amen? Brother Dale's been preaching on that, so it'll be just stirring up what you already know. Number four. Now, a minister can't bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him. The only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word. And the revival has to come by the people in your home, in your life. Now, revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what we've already got. To revive means to what? Bring back. Amen. A real powerful church in the book of Ephesus. 12 people. But they all had the Holy Ghost. And they were what? Tutored by the Apostle Paul. Amen? So they were what? They were taught right. The right seed was planted so that when the rain came and watered it, they would have a what? A growth or a revival. Listen, you can holler, as like Brother Branham was saying, we'll read it to me. Brother Branham said, latter rain, nonsense. What was he telling them? Your seed's not what's wanting to be planted. God doesn't want to plant that denominational seed. But you know what he'll do? God will honor it because he watered it and it came up.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and all the different ones, they came up.
Right.
But they can't come to full maturity.
Exactly.
because they have to go back down into the ground. I'm telling you, we're going to be done, and maybe this will be next Sunday. But every effort of any plant is to get a seed. Because if you don't produce fruit, there's not another year coming. So they push all their energy. It doesn't go back down in the roots. It went down in the roots one time. That bride tree, remember, he said he cut it down to a stump and life went down into the roots. But it's not going back to root again. It's going to grow up and everything's going to die until very end. And that's where the life is going to be. And that's me and you. We're at the end. We're at the seed bearing time. This whole plant, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, everything has been pushed. The life, Brother Brown's message has been pushed to this day today to where you and I can come to fruition. You and I can be the product of what was planted in the ground. Amen. It amazes me with the honeybees. They're kind of a little hibernating now, but they have to keep that queen bee at 90 degrees because the sperm that she collects from the male, she has to keep for 3 years in her body. And if it goes below 90 degrees, it starts dying. You say, well, it's 40 below zero. God has provided a way for them to survive.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something. You got all these winds of things blowing around you. Think of that little bitty honeybee. That is the whole life of that colony for the next year. Because without her, everybody dies and nothing comes afterward. But they protect that honeybee. They tighten that queen up so tight. And they vibrate. They get energy from the honey that we leave them. And they eat that honey, which is protein, and they vibrate in a ball. But she's in the middle, and they keep it at 90 degrees. Doesn't matter if it's 40 below. Alaska, Canada. Got a buddy in Canada that I watch on YouTube. 40 below the other day. Couldn't even get the lids off of his hives. They were froze shut. But inside that box, regardless of what was going on out in the world, they had balled up in a tight ball. And guess what? The bees on the outside, when they get a little cold, you know what they do? They say, brother, can you take my position?
Yeah.
And they go down in the inside of that wad.
Amen.
And they get revived.
Yeah.
This wasn't in my sermon. But that ball, the ones on the inside, it's been good and cozy 90 degrees. They move to the outside.
Right.
And they vibrate until they get to like below 50 degrees. They just keep doing that all winter. But they make sure that that queen bee stays 90 degrees. Doesn't matter. They could be in a hole in a wall somewhere or out in a tree. Not in my little cozy little boxes that sometimes we put insulation around. They didn't need our insulation. That's probably the worst thing you can do to them. They've lived in trees for thousands of years. And that hole's wide open and all that wind blowing in. But you know what? God preserved them. Because that's the next generation of what's coming. God's preserved this message and preserved it. I'll promise you he'll preserve it because this is the end time.
Right.
This is the seed that's going to be
Amen.
That was promised.
Amen.
Even in Genesis 3:15, you say, oh, that was Christ.
Right.
Where are you? What did Brother Aaron tell us? God said he was going to bring the plan of redemption
right.
through a bride,
right.
through a woman. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him. The only thing you can do is just be loyal to God and his word. Revival has to come by the people. In your home, in your life. That's the same thing with the bees. You know, they know winter's coming, so they get prepared. Same thing with us. And I want to say this, and I'll say it Sunday too. In the mornings, on Sunday mornings, some of my Sunday school teachers, we had a meeting Sunday, said some of you are dragging your kids in at 10 o'clock, 9:50, 9:45, those doors are going to be locked to Sunday school classes. If you're late, you just bring your kids on up here because you're not going to disturb the people that try to get here on time. I'm sorry. I'll promise you, if you got a little card in your pocket that says, I got to be at the doctor at 9:45, I've never had one of y'all come in here and say, oh, brother, wait, I missed my doctor's appointment. I missed it by 15 minutes. You'll never do that. You know why? Because they'll charge you for it. Well, what about your eternal salvation? What about your kids that are looking at you? You know why some of your kids don't come to church? Because you see your mom and dad laying around on Sunday not coming to church.
Amen.
Have a little sniffle and you can't come to church?
Yeah.
Folks, your kids are watching you.
Right.
They're watching every move you make. So be careful. So at 9:45, doors are going to be locked to the Sunday school classes. You're not going to disrupt the Sunday school class while we've got a short time to teach these kids. Don't come dragging in at 10 o'clock. Just bring your kids on upstairs. Okay? I'm sorry. That's just, like I said, you wouldn't be late for anything else. Quiet. Quietness makes sure it's soaking in. But, you know, watch a revival. Get yourself right at home first. Get yourself right at church first. Then what? We'll talk about it in just a minute because there's a thing called a Holy Ghost atmosphere that we're looking for. Sure, we bring the Holy Ghost with us, and we do the things that we're supposed to do a lot of times, but there are certain things that the Holy Ghost requires us to do.
Right.
Number one is to obey the Word of God.
Right.
That's number one. Because remember, Brother Branham says the Holy Ghost is a gentleman.
Right.
Very timid. He's going to let you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it. But he's gonna knock, like I said, he's not gonna knock those doors down that you don't let him in your house.
Right.
But you know what? He knows what's in the room.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Right. You and I see the door. We don't know what's on the side. The Holy Ghost knows what you need.
Right.
Cause he sees all the way into that door, through the door. Like the door's not even there, but he's a timid gentleman. All right, we'll get there in just a minute. Number five. What we need today is an old-fashioned God-sent revival. Clean up the home. Clean up the heart. Get things ready. Start a revival in your home, and it'll begin at the church. Preacher, don't bring it in his briefcase. God sent it from heaven to the individuals. That's true. All right, number six and seven, we read last time we were speaking on where Brother Brown says that we've lost our zeal. We begin to find out miracles wasn't taking place no more like they were. The sick go home sick. It isn't because of God. It's because of the lack of the revival among the people. There is no revival. They sit and listen, go home and say, well, I guess that was pretty good, uh-huh. See, there's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be there. And we looked at the word, that word zeal means fervor or passion. Okay? Zeal is fervor or passion. You know, I've said this before, I say it again, ESPN makes millions of dollars off of crazy fans. You know, ESPN doesn't go to an opera. And everybody's sitting there, and the lady's up there, whoo, you know. No, they go to a football game where it's 12 degrees below zero. So many people's got their shirt off and got their favorite team's name plastered on their chest. That's where ESPN makes money. Cause idiots like us watch it. And they go, oh, look at them fans. But then we said at church, don't come in without your shirt on.
Yeah.
I don't want anything. Don't get me wrong. But where's the fervor and the passion of that though? Cause I'll guarantee you, them guys don't walk in late for a ball game. They don't come in halftime. What happened there, Earl? No. They were sitting there.
Right.
Waiting for the kickoff.
Right.
What about us?
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here.
Right.
We need to have a little more fervor, a little more passion. Number seven, we will see Jesus. That enthusiasm. The church today lost its enthusiasm. Why? Because it's got out of the vine.
Yeah.
It's no more being energized by the Spirit. Wells of water. What is water? Revival. I'll read it to you in just a minute. Brother Brown calls water is revival. Bubbling up into everlasting life. That's what we're going to deal on right now. We're going to talk about water, the former and latter rain and things like that. Look, they've lost that zeal. Something's missing. God remains the same. So it ain't that Jesus Christ has lost his zeal. The Holy Ghost hadn't lost his zeal. Whose fault is it? What did Brother Chris say? There's a what? Fight between God and you know, the conflict between God and Satan, there is no conflict. You're the conflict. You're the conflict. God's not conflicted with Satan. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's going to do next. There is no conflict. But it's you. You got to decide. And even though God knows you're going to do it, he's still got his eye on you to see what you'll do. Amen? So they've lost that zeal. Something's missing. God remains the same. Christ remains the same. But his church has disassociated itself with his connection, the vine, the spirit. So now let's go to Joel 2. Now we're talking about revival. We're talking about revival means rain. Is that right? Say amen. Because we're going to, so you watch when we put these in here where he says, be glad then you children of Zion. Now that's, listen, you and I, Brother Branham talks about the bride tree and he goes to here to Joel 2 and he speaks of how it come up from the different ages all the way up to here. Now that's good. That's okay. That's revival. But what about me and you? What about the joy that we've lost?
Yeah.
What about all the things, the fellowship that we've lost, even being in the message? That bride tree's got to rise again.
Right.
Amen? Be glad and rejoice, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately.
Right.
Moderately. In other words, give you enough.
Exactly.
All right? And he will cause to come down for you the revival. Because I'm going to read you a quote, man, where Brother Brown says you have to pray it down. The former revival and the latter revival in the first month. Now, this means that there's going to be a short work, but it's going to be two revivals. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore. In other words, the tree didn't die. Read Restoration of the Bride Tree, Brother Brown. The tree didn't die.
Right.
It just lost all these things, fellowship, bark, leaves, all the different things. It lost that. But what happened is, Brother Brown said, the sap went down into the root.
Right.
And it stayed there until God started raining on it again.
Glory.
And it what? It started growing.
Right.
A bride tree started growing. Because, see, there was a bride tree grew in every church age. There's a bride tree in Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and this message. But remember what the quote I gave you the other day, there's been brides, churches, brides, brides. Brother Aaron just kept, he said, but they'll come one.
Glory.
They'll come one, Brother Aaron. He was on it, you know, Sunday. There's one. I don't want to be exclusive. God has made us exclusive. God has made us to where this is it.
Glory.
And nothing else. Why? You know why? I think God's tired of all that junk out there. Because he knows there's somebody going to take the pure word of God, live the pure word of God, preach the pure word of God, and show to the devil, like Brother Aaron said, show to the devil that this Eve won't fall by one word. One word. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Stimulation to revelation. Holy Ghost. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eat your tree. The cankerworm has eat your tree. And the caterpillar, your tree. And the palmer worm, your tree. My great army which I send among you. What? He's sending amongst the tribes.
Right. Amen.
What happens when the wind blows? When the wind blows, the roots, it loosens the soil up, and then the next few days, all that moisture there and those tree roots just start going longer and longer.
Yeah.
And then it what? It moves a little bit more. And it rains a little bit more, and the roots get deeper and deeper.
Right.
Listen, we're going to be shook, but we're not going to be knocked over.
Right. Amen.
Amen? And ye shall eat in plenty. Now, this is the end time.
Yeah.
And be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And Brother Branham, he did it for me. Former rain is what? Actually, he spells it wrong, but I'm not going to correct him. But if you look it up, you'll know it's the same thing. It's M-O-W-R-E-H, not M-O-U-R-E-H. Maura means teaching rain.
Right.
You got to have the teaching rain to what? To fall on the seed. Now listen, the seed's already got to be there. You got to get born again before you can understand what this is.
Amen.
You got to have the seed planted. You got to have the word planted in the ground.
Right.
Former rain is teaching are teaching to maturity.
Right.
But now remember, as Brother Branham is teaching us, and Brother Dale's speaking on the anointed ones, the tares do the same thing.
Sure.
That seed's in the ground right beside the corn.
Right.
And when the rain comes, the tares say, thank you, Lord.
Right.
Though I'm a tare, yeah. Though I'm a chicken.
Yeah.
I love what that brother,
right.
Brother answers. He's a chicken. Make sure you don't let him look in the mirror. He's a chicken. Leave it alone. He's a chicken. If you want to live, he's a chicken. But remember, the little old eagle knew they was something. You know what? If I was walking through that barnyard, though, I'd be looking down at them chicken's feet, which is flat with a little old bitty burr on it about that long, and I'd look down at mine and I'd go... Mine's a lot longer than theirs. And then you go, they're little old beasts about this big. Mine's about that long.
Yeah.
And that's what you do in the world. You're in the world and you look around the world and you think, I'm different. Something's different about me.
Oh, yeah.
And then God, what? He screams. And then you what? The chickens probably, I'm sure what, when they screamed, every chicken in the barnyard run under the barn. And it left that little eagle thing out there by itself.
Right.
He said, where'd that call come from? Because you know what? You'll lose a lot of friends when you become a Christian.
Right?
Right, Brother Zach? You know why? Because they weren't your real friends.
Right.
You can't associate with the things of the world like you used to before. Immediately, they'll start moving away. Same way with the chickens. They'll run out of the barn and everything else. They'll run away from you. Why? Because they're not eagles. Amen. And I'm sorry, but I'm, you know, Brother Brown talks about segregation. And we've had some horrible segregation problems in the South back, you know, but I'm not talking about that. Brother Brown said, brother, that God was a segregationist.
Right, right.
He wants to segregate us from evil, segregate us from the devil. So to be, and I'm an exclusivist. I think we have the exclusive message. The denominations don't have, they can't produce
right.
What you produce.
Right.
Please. There's one problem though. Don't you walk out there and think you're better than they are.
Right.
I warn you.
Exactly right.
Don't walk out there and your head up, if your head's up higher than the rest of them, guess what happens when the sickle comes by?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You get the first one. So be careful.
Right.
Stay humble.
Right.
You can be in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
Amen. But the former rain, we've had a former rain. We've had a teaching rain. God has sent us 1,100 sermons.
Amen.
From God himself.
Right.
Not the person, William Branham.
Right.
But God himself through that vessel
right.
is bringing the message to me and you.
Right.
Pure and unadulterated, just what he said. I just can't see how people would leave it, but I can't see how that you could even listen to that all your life where Brother Brown says, thus saith the Lord, this is the pure unadulterated word of God. And then call him whatever they're calling him, liar and deceiver and wow. You see how the devil, how bold he is though? I've told y'all for years, the devil's not out there.
Right.
He's right here. He wants this to fail as much as we want this to win.
Right.
Amen? He wants it to fail, but it's not. See? Every promise in the Bible
right.
must come to pass.
Glory.
And there was a bride tree. There was a revival that brought that tree back and brought fruit back on the tree.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at now. But you had to have the former rain of the Mara rain or the teaching rain to bring to maturity. But now look. Let's look at something real quick. Latter rain, we've always known what latter rain, which is the harvest rain. But now remember this, you gotta be careful and watch your types because a latter rain is the harvest rain. Now you don't harvest during a rain. You can't. You can't harvest when it's got a lot of moisture in it. It really looks bad. If field of corn where we hunt in Illinois, 350 acres, a good, I mean, beautiful. I was thinking this the other day, you know, the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. That's what people do. They get right in the middle of a cornfield and the corn's this tall and they can't see no further. They say, where's the corn? That's what they're doing now. Where's the corn? They can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see the corn for the corn stalks.
Right.
But they're real green and beautiful. And I mean, they're sticking out like this and them tassels are hanging down real pretty and beautiful. But man, about November the 5th or 6th, the life has gone out of that thing.
Right.
Except it's harbored in that seed
right. That's
in that corn cob. And that's the ugliest looking thing you've ever seen in your life. You say, what are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm telling you, this is not going to be a flowery bread of ease.
Right.
Sure, it may look great, and it's wonderful. You got Zach Black comes in. You know, he's come back to the Lord, and he sees a revival happening after a resurrection.
Right.
Sees a revival in his life, and everything's green.
Yeah.
All the flowers are blooming.
Right.
And you walk through the grass, and it sticks up through your toes.
Right.
But don't worry. Don't worry. One day you're going to open the door and you're going to see nothing but a desert.
Right.
But you're going to see one little piece out in the very end out there
right. That's
green.
Right.
And that's God.
Because
right. He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
Even though
Glory. You
think He's nowhere to be found. That corn thinks, man, I had all this life in my stalk. I had all this life in my leaves.
Right.
Now look at me. I look dead as a hammer. But there's life in that seed. And you put it in the right place and it'll start another stalk. That's you and I. So what am I saying? This harvest rain is not going to be, maybe it's not going to be like what we think, where everything's so lush and so beautiful. And like I said, there's not going to be a revival worldwide. It's going to be you.
Right.
You know what? If you were that seed, you were down inside that one seed to begin with. When they planted that corn seed, you were down in there.
Right.
Somewhere.
Right.
There was life.
Right.
But as it goes through the stages, now once it gets up like this, there's no corn there.
Right.
But it's in there because it's in the life.
Right.
Shoots. Goes on out to the tassel. Then it starts making the corn and all them little ears of corn, those little kernels start what? Being formed.
Right.
That all came from that one seed.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says a corn of wheat falls in the ground, dies, it dies alone.
Right.
But what? If you water it,
right. And
it will grow, it'll grow into what? More seed. That one seed.
Right.
Think about it, folks. I got an apple. Some of y'all got plums off of my trees for the past 4 or 5 years. The bees pollinate it real good, and I mean, we have hundreds and thousands of, they just break some limbs on them
right. Plum
trees. That come from one seed. Years ago, some man planted that seed and brought me a little seedlet, a little shoot about that high. And there's probably been thousands of plums from that one seed.
Right.
Why? I put it in good ground.
Right.
I fertilized it. I give it some water when it didn't rain on it, but I didn't overwater it. Because we're going to read a scripture in a minute where the Bible says if an enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard.
Right.
Everybody okay? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. And you shall eat in plenty, verse 26, and be satisfied. Be satisfied. That's what's happening with a lot of people. They're not satisfied where they are.
Right.
If you're not satisfied where you are, you need to find somewhere you're satisfied.
Amen.
But if you don't have the teaching rain, where God takes that seed and He gives it just enough water,
right. Gives
it just enough fertilizer, gives it really good soil,
right. Takes
and cuts all the suckers off of it.
Right.
Yeah, the suckers. We have suckers. It sucks the life out of it. That's why we take, it grows out from the bottom of the corn stalk. For some of you young kids that don't know what that is, they grow out of the bottom and they suck the life out of the pure, out of the plant. So what we do is we cut them off.
Right.
Same way with my apple trees. You know, you think that apple tree or any kind of tree, you just leave it alone. The more the merrier, the more limbs, the more. That's not true.
Right.
You have to prune it.
Right.
You have to prune it. You have to cut all the excess off because there's life going through that limb. And if there's life going through but no apple coming on it, It's just there. It's a sucker. You cut it off and let the life go what? Into the fruit.
Right,
same way with God. What are you saying, Brother Wade? We've had a lot of false doctrine. We've had a lot of false, not here, but different things that you hear and different things that took our attention away from the pure word of God. Cut it off. You don't need it. But you've got to realize it. Let's read Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. What is flood? Water. So the same thing that you can swim in and have fun in can kill you. It will drown you. What? Enemy come in with a bunch of water. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up. Now, what does the word lift, two words lift up means revive.
Right.
So when the enemy comes in like a flood, when a disaster comes, looks like a disaster, the Spirit of the Lord shall revive a standard against that enemy. That's what's got to happen to you and I. He's got to lift us up and revive us in the end time. Because look at the enemy. He comes in like a flood.
Right.
You know what, though? If you become a flood, that flood can't destroy you. I've always said the Bible says that the brightness of the light has put people's eyes out. Right? But if you become the light,
right.
If you become the light, I don't care. If you become the sun, the Bible tells us the moon is going to be the same as the sun in the end time.
Right.
Seven times brighter. You know what? If I was the sun, I could look at the sun all day.
Right.
Why? Because we're equal.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Isn't that what God wants us to be? Co-equal? Isn't that what Brother Aaron was always preaching before the fall? What? Adam and Eve were co-equal.
Right.
God wants us to be co-equal.
Right.
John 17 says, Father, let them be one
right.
as you and I are one.
Glory.
We're not getting that.
Right.
Please, we got to get it. Now listen. The Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That doesn't mean you got to go hunt another word. Something to bring new, something develop, you know, something that's coming from another. Listen, we've heard all these doctrines. What about this guy that's several thousand people in his church and they've just inaugurated him, the successor of Brother Branham? Oh yeah. Oh, that's a YouTube video. Somebody can give it to you. I mean, it's public domain. You can watch it. Oh yeah. They christened him the new you're here to take over Brother Branham. And he's just standing there smiling. And all these people, his church has four levels. And they're all full of people. Christening him as the one to take over since Brother Branham's gone. You know what? The guy's a little slow. I'm not making light, but really, Brother Branham's been gone 60 years almost. Why didn't he say that 60 years ago? Why is he just waiting till now and everybody going, what? No, it's been 56 something years since Brother Brown passed off the scene. Why didn't he do it then? Crazy bunch. I'm telling you, it's the devil.
Right.
We've had one message, one messenger, and Christ is the word that we're supposed to take
right.
from that messenger. I'll read it to you right here in just a second. Hosea 6:1, watch this. We'll get this and then we'll probably quit and then I'll have something. I won't have enough to get to the Holy Ghost atmosphere, but we will try to maybe Sunday. I don't want that atomic clock to go any faster. Hosea 6 verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. That's a promise. In the third day, he will raise us up, revive us, raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Then shall we know, look, if we follow on to know the Lord.
Right.
That little word if is a powerful word.
Amen.
His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain,
right.
as the revival, as the latter and former revival unto the earth. You're the earth. that he's talking about, not the ball that we live on. But now watch this in number 8. We'll read about 8, 9, and 10 here. Brother Brown said in broken cisterns, it don't need no filter, no strainer, no pumping, no jerking, no nothing else. It's just there. He's talking about, what's he talking about? He's talking about that little squirt of water that he found, that little thing coming up out of the ground that way out in the woods. Yeah. You know what? God, before the foundation of the world, knew where that was going to be.
Right.
Put it there. And it'd been bubbling for centuries.
Right.
And, but he knew a little prophet was going to walk by and use it for a sermon.
Right. Yeah.
What gets me is he said, did the same thing with a cigarette pack.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But God uses strange things to make, you'll never forget that message, I promise you.
Right.
Think a man's filter, you'll never forget that. Pick up a cigarette pack, it says a thinking man's filter or whatever it says. But anyway. So that's what he did with that little trickle that was coming up out of the ground. Cause he asked him, he said, hey, are you here because of the deer? Water would say no. It's just bubbling and running down the hill. Brother Brown said, is it for the squirrels to come by and eat, come by and take a drink? No. He said, well, why are you here? He said, because there's something inside that I don't have to manufacture. It just keeps pushing. And I just keep overflowing. So that's a perfect analogy of what you and I. But watch this right here. It don't have to depend on local rains to fill it up. Rains are revivals. All right, so that's the point. Rains are revivals. Where that fountain, that's at that fountain of life. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. Now, what is the carcass? The Word of God.
Right.
Not a substitute, not dead word, not dead of carrying, fresh word.
Right?
You don't have to pump up a revival. You don't have to pump up nothing.
Right.
Only thing you have to do is just come to the fountain. It's always full of good, fresh water.
Right.
Listen, and you know, like Brother Dale said, we back to the old grind of me and him and the other ones. It was refreshing that the other ones come in.
Yeah.
Brother Chris and Brother Oltig and Brother Aaron and whoever else we've had. Cause that's a little refreshing. They don't bring another water.
Right.
But they bring some fresh water. They bring something fresh, something that you what? I like fresh water.
Right, amen.
Man, I wouldn't drink some of this hardly tap water, a lot of it, but I like some good old fresh cold water.
Right.
But there's no end to it. It just keeps on bubbling. All right, number 9. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. That's why I'm not trying to get you in the spirit of revival. I'm telling you how it works.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get into the spirit of the revival.
Yeah.
I'm telling you how it works. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of a revival, not whooping it up or something, but by praying it down.
Amen.
Until there's a... Now, where does rain come from?
Right. Amen.
It comes down.
Right.
That's why that before Noah and the flood, the water... There was no rain. It came up from the ground. But when man sinned and God wiped this thing off, he started back again because he can't use that type anymore. He can't use that type anymore. He wants rain from above. So he changed that when he come up to the flood, when he had the flood, he said, I'll not destroy the world with water anymore. He said, but you're going to have rain because you're going to have a rainbow. You're going to have rain. It's not going to be on the ground anymore. It's got to come from what? It's got to come from above.
Right.
It's got to come from what? The heavenlies.
Glory.
But praying it down until there's a revival strikes your heart. Until all the laws of ecclesiasticalism, all the laws of fanaticism, and all the laws of system, and all the laws of unbelief flow out. And then the waters of God comes falling down upon you. There you are. Number 10, end time sign seed, Tifton, Georgia. Preach this in our home state. There's a revival going on. What is it? A sowing. He's telling you right there, 1962, there was a sowing. What did he just preach, spoken words, original seed? What did he say? The word's been sown. The word's been sown, pure and unadulterated. The word's been sown. Billy Graham or Roberts, and he said, I sowed one. He, not I, but Brother Brown. Speaking for him. All right, look what he said. You don't hear very much of Billy Graham no more, do you? Now, this is 1962. What about Oral? What about the rest of them? You know the great revival fire's not burning. What is it? It's the end time seed sign. Because we got to come back to seed. The word has been sown. What is it? Denominations will reap denomination. That makes them confederate themselves together. But the word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, what falls? Rain. The word of God will live in the people. That's a promise. And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A confederation of church.
Right.
Churchy. That's the problem. Churchy. That's to be bound and burned like the thorns and thistles. But where the word of God's been sowed into the people's heart,
right,
it will reap a bride for Christ as certain as I'm standing here in time signs.
Right.
Continue on. What's the matter, Church of God? Then I put that in red. What's the matter with us?
Right.
What's the matter with you, Baptists, you Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, Jesus only, all the rest of you? What's the matter with us?
Right.
Boy, can't you see them people that, you know, he starts with the Baptists and the Presbyterians going, amen. He says Presbyterian, they go, oh. Church of God, Assemblies, Jesus only. And then he says, all the rest of you.
Right.
What's the matter with us? Can't you see? The seed, don't you be careful what kind of seed you're taking into your womb of your heart.
Exactly.
Don't you take creeds, take the word.
Glory.
They've been talking so much about latter rain. Not discarding you latter rain brethren, but that's not latter rain.
Right.
Look, if the latter rain would have been here, he's talking about right then. If the latter rain would have been here, the power of God would have struck that thing and she'd have swept the world.
Right.
But he says the latter rain's fixing to come.
Right.
So when it strikes the world, she'll sweep the world.
Right.
When that thing strikes, what's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something just like Eve tried to do. She tried to have more light to manufacture something. We've done the same thing. It's your prophet. Trying to make something in ourselves. And I underline that on mine. To make something in ourselves. Keep your hand off of it.
Right.
Let God do it.
Right.
That's my word to you. Let God do
Amen.
It.
Exactly.
Hold it in your heart. Take his word and believe it. What is the word? The word is the seed.
Right.
Then the rain comes on the seed that you've held.
Right.
If it's wrong seed, it's going to bring wrong doctrine.
Right.
That's why it's so important we harp on being right and trying to keep you away from all these other doctrines. You see what Brother Brown said before that? He said, watch what you put in the womb of your mind.
Right.
Because you put a seed in the womb of your mind, guess what happens? After a while, your womb closes up and nothing gets in there anymore except what's already there.
Right.
So let's keep what? Let's keep being washed by the water.
Amen.
Washed by the water of the word. Hold it in your heart. And when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the word will manifest itself.
Right.
So I say to you tonight, the standard has been lifted.
Amen.
The enemy's been coming in like a flood and he may keep on coming in like a flood.
Oh, yeah.
But God has already raised up a standard.
Right.
But we'll get to this later. Musicians come. We'll stop right here that we will have this to cover. I want to cover a little bit more, but Brother Brown, we're talking about a Holy Ghost atmosphere.
Amen.
Do what the word says, but it takes a prophet. There was a man named Elihu that was typing Christ that went to who? Went to Job. And Job, he tells Job in Job 33 verse 23, I'll read it here and we'll read it Sunday. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. Then he is gracious unto him. God's been gracious and sent us an interpreter.
Right.
There's been a messenger sent.
Yeah.
One among a thousand.
Right.
I say one among a million.
Yep.
To show unto man his uprightness. Brother Branham, listen. Brother Branham, remember, a prophet does two things. He condemns, but he also raises you up. He gives you what? He gives you grace.
Right.
All right? I'm taking the grace from the prophet. I don't know about you.
Amen.
We lived under all that condemnation of a hair and dress and do's and don'ts and all. Grace. Brother Brown says, my whole makeup is grace. So how are you going to make him anything else? But remember, I'll tell you this story and then we'll then stand to your feet. Elijah walked up to a Shunammite woman. She was hungry. She's a Gentile. Right? She needed something. What did Elijah say? Fix me a cake first. And I'll show you a miracle. He didn't say that, but he was going to.
Right.
He said, fix me a cake first, because in her heart, she's like, hey, look, dude, you just walked out of the woods. You all, Brother Bram said what? He was all hairy and, you know, had a, like John the Baptist, you know, had on a loincloth of leather, and he didn't look like no preacher of the day.
Right?
Right? But he walks up to this woman and he says, I know you're in trouble. Because remember, she told me, she said, I've only got enough for me and my son. He said, fix me a cake first.
Right.
You know what Brother Brown says about that? He says, do what the word says first.
Right.
He said, then you'll see the miracles.
Exactly right.
He said, don't look for the miracles first.
Right.
He said, do what the word said. He said, that Shunammite woman did what the word said first.
Right.
And then what happened? When that was done, she probably handed him that cake and said, me and my son's just going to go walk over here and die. It had not rained for 3.5 years.
Right.
It was at the end of Elijah's prophecy that it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years.
Right.
Not even dew on the ground. You're talking about dry. Just enough. Brother John, she had enough faith. She handed it to the messenger
right.
of the hour and said, here, this is all I got.
Right.
I'm just going to die.
Yeah.
And Elijah just turned and said, no. No. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. When you walk in there and you dig out the, when you dig out the oil, it'll be right back in there. When you take your flour out, make you and your son about a 3-layer German chocolate cake. Cause it ain't gonna run dry. Go make you something and you come back again and you go, cause he told her, he said it'll never run dry. Till the end of that time. Of the 3.5 years. So Brother Bram tells us, get in a Holy Ghost atmosphere.
Right.
Do what the word says first. He said, then signs will follow
right.
behind that. God bless you. Let's stand our feet. God sent us a prophet.
Right.
But do we believe what he said?
Right.
Do we believe him with no doubt? Do we believe him with no doubt
Amen.
That if we do what he says first? Because listen, Brother Branham was a word prophet, folks. We've been beating that into y'all for years. Word first. He was a word prophet. He can't change the word.
Right.
What he said came out of the word.
Exactly.
All these people that want to, you know, like the ones that's left, you know, we just want to preach to I don't see nothing else while we're preaching but the Bible.
Amen.
I don't see nothing but Christ that we're preaching.
Amen.
Christ is the Word.
Glory.
But are you like that little Shunammite woman? Or, because remember, the same man walks into a place of high authority and he looks at Jezebel and he said, because of you, not doing what God said through me, the dogs will eat you.
Yeah.
Two women. Remember I preached on Elijah, why God chose Elijah? Elijah knew how to deal with women.
Yeah.
Every Elijah had two women to deal with. First Elijah was Elijah, had to deal with Jezebel and a Shunammite woman. The second one, Elisha, had to deal, he saw, that's why Elisha types us, folks. Brother Brown said Elisha typed the bride.
Right.
Because the prophet Elijah told Jezebel, the dogs will eat your flesh, but he didn't see it. He went home.
Right.
But Elisha walks up one day and says, Jehu, you know what to do.
Right.
Throw her out the door.
Right.
We're going to see that Jezebel
right.
die
right.
because of what Brother Branham told us. Then John the Baptist, he's same way. Each one had two. Brother Branham came and he what? He condemned the denominational bride. But he brought us what? Grace.
Amen.
He brought us a Holy Ghost atmosphere, and we'll talk about that Sunday afternoon. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
288 in the red book.
288 in the red book. Let's worship.
It's coming soon. Man. Troublesome times are here,
filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God,
saves
from a chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing her homes of gold. There is God's word told,
evils abound.
When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will
give him, Lord, understanding and strength. And, Lord, if this needs to go through it, well. If it don't, Lord, we know there's other avenues that you'll open up, Father. We ask you, grant these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore.
When we meet on that shore,
free from all care. Rising up in the sky,
well,
telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky,
going where no one dies,
heavenward bound.
Amen. Listen, let me tell you, I know Susan won't mind me telling you, but she said what started a revival in her life is that her sitting there listening, knowing that the ministry here had preached every bit of that they had. Not the same avenue, not the same words, not the same quotes. But you see how an eternal God does things.
Right.
But it starts a revival. And you know what? She said something that a lot of y'all don't do. She said, it made me want to come back second service.
Right.
Amen.
That's a revival.
Right.
That's a revival.
Exactly.
When you start doing things that you don't want to do.
Right.
Or that you hadn't been doing. See, to me, that's a revival.
Right.
You say, well, all that's the do's and don'ts. No. No. You do what God said first.
Right.
Holy Ghost atmosphere. But she was thanking God that she was able to listen to what they were saying and rejoice in knowing that, not that she already knew it, but that there was a foundation there for that to grow from.
Glory.
We need all fivefold ministry. Let's don't get narrow-minded where we need no. No, we need a fivefold ministry. Five. I don't say different to mean different, but five different avenues the way the same word comes.
Exactly.
And he uses a vessel. Brother Dale told Brother Aaron, I know he don't mind me telling him. He told Brother Aaron, he said, as smart as I am, I never realized all that stuff that came out. Remember he talking about what come out of the ground, you know, you could eat? Remember he was talking about that? So anyway, but it's all these little, there's little keys. Listen, you're not going to get the whole sermon, but you get keys. God will give you certain little things. Little nuggets, Brother Brown said. But you know what? If you keep putting a nugget, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the way God is. Listen, before you go home, As we're singing this song again, let's start over with the same first verse again. As we're singing this song and you be dismissed, come up here and lay hands on the prayer cloths. They'll be for Brother John, Sister Alicia, and the three kids. Y'all are going, aren't you? Okay. Thank goodness. Okay. But they are, all of the whole family's going, so I want you to come up here, lay your hands on this and pray for them. Say a prayer for them, and then as you leave, God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, and we pray that God will be with you. Pray for us all. We all need prayer. Pray for the ones that are sick. Sister Kathy, you feeling any better? Amen. She's got to drive home. We got to really pray for that girl. She got to drive home. So God will give you energizing strength if you'll ask him for it. So let's sing with the first verse again.
Trouble sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. Humble your hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus coming soon, morning or night.